Today's episode takes us to Winchester, Indiana, a quiet town with a past that feels anything but peaceful. Sitting just outside the center of it all is a crumbling structure that has drawn paranormal investigators, thrill seekers, and skeptics alike, the Randolph County Asylum. Also known as Randolph County Poor Farm, this place isn't just one building. It's an entire property steeped in hardship, isolation, and according to many, something far darker. Tonight, we're going to walk through its history, and then we're going to step into the stories people wish they could forget. So if you're alone, maybe leave a light on. What's up, everyone? I'm Em.
And I'm Nick.
And welcome into the Ominous Archives.
So the store is running. We do have that news. I just have to add the products, which will happen today. So when you hear this, it will have happened a week ago.
It will be up and running.
Yeah, it happened a week ago. We also have to say, let's go Flyers.
Yes, Nick did not jinx us last week by saying we would hopefully still be in the playoffs this week.
We did make it. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we have a... What is it? Oh, we could technically be on the next round by the next time we record.
So
that could be fun.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Either way, there's playoff hockey back again in Philadelphia, and that's great for us.
Yes.
Besides that and all that fun info, we do have other things in the background working on. It's very chaotic, I guess, trying to do this again. It's just, you know, it's me, Em, and Sam, and it's very hard to try and juggle emails and getting the store running and getting topics written and... So, we're getting there. There's things in the background that are coming. Other than that, I don't think I've heard of this topic. No. We'll make that awkward exchange.
Okay. Well, it's exciting.
Didn't you? So, I called it Rudolph because I don't...
He did indeed.
I don't read
when I
look at stuff. I just look and go with the first thing that pops to my brain.
Yes.
But didn't you say it was a cryptid?
No.
Oh. I thought you said it was a cryptid.
I said Rudolph was a cryptid.
Oh.
Like I said, haha, cat's out of the bag. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer is the cryptid.
I did not get that joke.
Okay, I guess not that explains why you didn't laugh.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny.
You thought I was probably just being like mean.
I was like, okay, not good enough for him today.
No.
No, it's just actually...
It went right over my head.
He just doesn't listen when I speak.
I listen.
Fine. So, to understand why this place...
Like, he's a place. I thought something happened at this place that made it cryptid.
No, surely not.
I was just way, way out of the stadium.
So to understand why this place is said to be so haunted, you have to go back to the late 1800s. The Randolph County Asylum was built in 1899, but don't let the word asylum mislead you. This wasn't originally a psychiatric hospital in the modern sense. It was originally a poor farm. Back then, counties were responsible for taking care of people who had nowhere else to go. The elderly, the disabled, the mentally ill, widows, orphans, and those living in extreme poverty were sent to places like this. And once you were sent there, you didn't leave. Residents worked the land to earn their keep, farming, cooking, cleaning. It was supposed to be a self-sustaining system. But in reality, it was a place of last resort. A place where people were sent when society had nowhere else to put them.
I don't want to say it's a hot take, but I understand the logic behind it. It makes sense.
I get the thought process behind it.
If you're struggling or any of these things, to go there, you earn your keep by doing the work.
Right.
And then, like, farming helps...
Yeah, in theory,
it makes sense.
Treating the people correctly, I feel like, it probably would work.
I was going to say, I bet you the money that would come in that was supposed to go to help the people or at least, like, sustain the property and keep all that going was not getting where it needed to go. But who are we? We have no idea about any of that. Just the idea makes sense. So the building itself was large, institutional, and isolating. There were long hallways, stark rooms, very little privacy, and, of course, very little comfort. Records show that conditions weren't always ideal. Overcrowding became an issue, which happens all the time in places. The resources were stretched thin, and people living there, many already struggling physically or mentally, were often left in conditions that today would be considered neglectful. There are also reports that those with mental illnesses were not always treated humanely. Remember, this was a time before modern psychiatric care. Restraints, isolation, lack of understanding, all of it played a role in shaping the environment inside those walls. What a terrible, like, time to live.
What a scary time
to live.
That's
a better idea. Yeah,
like,
scary.
What a absolutely terrifying time to live. Like, we have so many resources in terms of, like, mental health and, like, things like that. Like, now, I could not imagine, like, the lack of, like, knowing what even mental health was back then. Like, it was just, like...
It was non-existent.
Right, it wasn't a thing. We didn't, like... That's so crazy. I can't imagine, like...
Yep.
And then on top of that, there is the cemetery. On the property sits a graveyard where many of the residents were buried. Most of the graves were originally marked with simple stones, or sometimes simply just numbers. Names were lost, identities erased. People who lived and died there were largely forgotten. If you were looking for the kind of place where restless energy might linger, this is exactly it.
Can you imagine how many people over time, like, we've lost names and identities and stuff like that over time for people who were buried in unfound graves or graves that weren't marked?
Yeah.
There's that wild cemetery at the campground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally.
In the back. I mean, I don't think the last time I went back there, I had no intention of looking at names.
Yeah, no.
I just thought it was spooky.
Not gonna lie. Now I'd probably... I was there, like, last summer, the last time I went down there, and I can't remember if there's actual names on them.
There's definitely a plaque for what...
Yeah.
Like, what that cemetery
was. I think
they
were soldiers, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it was, like, a thing with the... Like, it was there before the campground was there, and they weren't allowed to move it, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. We'll have to look it up and let you guys know. Not that that has anything to do with this, but...
Right, just...
We were just talking, you know...
It's crazy.
Talking about the lost people.
But yeah, even just, like, marking the graves with numbers is, like, so crazy.
When you think, okay, that's a good idea if this place is huge and we don't have this. But at least, like, the number, and then you can correlate it to a name in records. So this way the family could find them or something. Like.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, when you combine suffering and isolation, you get stories. And Randolph County Asylum has a lot of them. Let's start with one of the most commonly reported experiences, footsteps. Visitors and investigators frequently report hearing footsteps echoing through the halls, slow, deliberate, and unmistakably human. But then when they turn to look, there's no one there. What makes it even more unsettling is that these footsteps are often heard in areas where the floors are unstable, places where no human could safely walk.
But there are voices. Why not? Because people claim to hear whispers, sometimes faint, sometimes clear enough to make out the actual words. Their name could be called. Conversations are happening just out of your reach. And in some cases, there's crying. Soft, distant, but crying. The kind that makes you stop in your tracks and listen, even when every instinct is telling you not to. We've all had those gut feelings. Mm-hmm. Don't do this. Don't do this.
Yeah,
do it anyway.
You're like, you gotta do it anyway.
One of the most well-known spirits associated with the asylum is a figure often referred to as the Shadow Man.
Which I hate, because every time I would have a night terror, the little, like, I would refer to it as, know the shadow man.
It's always a shadow man.
I hate it.
There's the like, doing cryptids, doing haunted places, doing all that. The constants are women in white and shadow men.
Yeah.
Or men in black. That's the other one. They're like the three that you can't escape from. If you dive into this world, you're going to find them.
I've always had one.
Yeah. He's been seen moving through the hallways, standing in doorways, which is rude, and just watching, which is, that could also be considered rude.
Also kind of rude.
Witnesses describe him as tall, dark, and handsome. No, he's a tall, dark figure with no discernible features, just a presence. And here's where it gets strange. He doesn't always just disappear when noticed. Sometimes he lingers.
Which I feel like, yeah, is not normal with like a shadow like figure. I feel like once you notice it, it kind of like, or honestly, I feel like with most ghosts, I feel like that we talk about,
they typically just poof.
Right. Like, once you like notice them, mm-hmm. or like you go to look back, they're gone.
Yeah.
It's interesting that he lingers.
Yeah. I kind of associated that with, they spend so much energy trying to be seen and noticed that when, by the time we finally realize and we're like, whoa, that could be a ghost, their energy's all used up and they just kind of go back to their invisible form.
Yeah.
Maybe this dude's just different. Yeah. Maybe he enjoys just blocking the doorway.
True.
So he's just like, I'm just going to sit here and I'm not going to disappear.
Another commonly reported presence is believed to be that of a woman. Some say she appears near the upper floors or near the former patient rooms. People describe hearing a woman's voice, sometimes distressed, sometimes almost as if she's trying to communicate. There are even reports of physical sensations, like being touched lightly on the arm or shoulder, as if someone is trying to get your attention. And then there's the basement, because of course there is. Of course!
Why wouldn't it be? You always need a basement.
Yeah.
Archives are in a basement.
This is true. Almost every haunted location has one place that people hesitate to go to. At Randolph County Asylum, it is the basement. Investigators say that it feels different down there. Heavier. Oppressive. Like the air itself is thicker. Some claim their equipment malfunctions specifically in that area. Others report sudden nausea, dizziness, or the overwhelming urge to leave. And a few say they've seen things. Dark shapes just moving beyond the edge of vision, and figures that seem to shift when you try to focus on them.
Now, skeptics will say this is exactly what you'd expect from an abandoned building with a tragic history. Old structures make noise, wind moves through broken windows, your mind fills in the blanks. And that's fair. But there are moments that are harder to explain. There have been reports of doors slamming shut on their own, objects being moved, and perhaps most chilling of all, electronic voice phenomenon. In recordings where investigators ask questions, and later, when reviewing the audio, they hear responses. Sometimes they're intelligent responses, and sometimes voices that don't match anyone who was there. Which, our hallway upstairs does the whole wind thing. Because you can, if you open our bathroom window, lined directly up with one of the windows in our bedroom, and depending upon, I don't know exactly how it happens, but like you'll get wind blowing in from the bathroom window and it'll slam our bedroom door shut.
Nope.
And our bedroom door does not slam shut that way.
No.
It's a weird thing, but both windows have to be open and it plays that game where it'll slam one door and then the other one will slam.
Hate that.
Mm-hmm. It scares the crap out of you. Sometimes,
yeah, like, right. Like, you'll forget about it and you're like, what
on
the heck?
Nice days, and it's like, oh, you open all the windows and stuff. And I'm sitting downstairs with the baby and we're just hanging out or whatever. And then all of a sudden, the doors upstairs just start slamming. Whoa.
One story that specifically stands out involves a group conducting an overnight investigation. They were set up in one of the upper rooms when they heard what sounded like someone walking towards them. Walking down the hallway towards them. Slow footsteps, getting closer and closer, until they stopped, right outside the door. The group went silent, just waiting, and then three distinct knocks on the door. When they opened it, the hallway was empty. Like, absolutely not. Like, no. Another investigator claimed to have been alone in a room when they felt something tug at their clothing. Not hard and not aggressive, just enough to make it clear that they weren't alone. And maybe that's the most unsettling part about Randolph County Asylum. It's not the idea that something might be there. It's the feeling that whatever is there knows you're there too.
Over the years, the property has changed hands and undergone periods of restoration. Today, it's privately owned, and tours and paranormal investigations are sometimes allowed. People travel from all over just to spend the night inside, to experience it for themselves. Some leave convinced it's haunted. Others leave with more questions than answers. And a few, they don't like to talk about what they experienced at all. Because places like this don't just hold history. They hold on to the energy, the memories, moments that have been too intense, too emotional to simply just fade away. So what really lingers inside Randolph County Asylum? Is it residual energy, replaying fragments of the past? Is it something intelligent, aware of those who enter? Or is it something else entirely? Something we don't fully understand yet. Whatever the truth is, one thing is certain. The stories aren't going to go anywhere. And neither, it seems, are the shadows. If you ever find yourself in Winchester, Indiana, you might be tempted to visit, to walk those halls, to listen for the footsteps. But just remember, some places don't like to be disturbed. Thanks for listening in to the Ominous Archives, and we'd like to give a special thank you to our team member, Sam. She's always doing amazing work for us and keeps us on track. And you can head on over to her own podcast, that's Scare Me Sham, where she reviews horror books if you are looking for a book in that genre. So until next time, stay weird and stay haunted. See ya.
See ya.